Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, the 37th Psalm. And your Schofield Reference Bible, page 616. Psalm 37, reading verses 1 through 7. We'll read these verses responsively. And may we please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And let's read verse 7 together also. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And let's pray. And Father, we're glad for this place. Our hearts are made happy to step into this building and to realize that this is the place where so much happens in the way of changed lives through the preaching and teaching of thy word. We're happy to be here this morning, but our coming is in vain if thou dost not meet with us, and we of course ask you to meet with us now in a powerful and special way. Meet the needs of our lives, bless our preacher, and give him of thy power in Jesus' name. Amen.
Glad to have a music director who has a heart. I want to read, by the way, before I read the scripture this morning, everybody get settled now. Before I read the scripture this morning, my good friend, Dr. Myron Cedarholm, went to be with the Lord this week. If I listed the preachers of my generation, and most of them passed off the scene now, if I listed my 10 closest friends through the years in the ministry, Dr. Myron Cedarholm would be on that list. Many years ago, when he was president of the Pillsbury Baptist Bible College, I preached a revival meeting there for a week. I also preached 21 consecutive years at Maranatha Baptist Bible College while he was president there. I preached the dedication sermon for the opening of the college. I also preached the dedication for every building that they built while Dr. Cedarholm was there. And I preached for him over 20 years at the Maranatha Week at the CERN Conference Grounds in California. In fact, his daughter called, and though I'm not in the Maranatha family anymore, and we have our own college, and of course I'll not be a part officially in the ceremony, the daughter did make it very plain she called, and I was not in, but she made it very plain that they wanted me to be the first one that heard about it. And they called me first. I hope you'll pray for Mrs. Cedarholm and their daughter Charlotte. Charlotte's the one who helped me make Reese Peanut Butter Cups famous. And I hope you'll pray for the family. This morning I want to do something very unusual. I normally have a sermon of several points, and I'll give the point and then an illustration. And this morning I'm going to give all the illustrations at first, because there's no point to the sermon. I'm going to give all the illustrations first, and then I'm going to give you three points quickly. And these illustrations, some of them are things that you're acquainted with, but I want to read for you without your turning to it these words: fret not thyself because of evildoers. You see, somebody was doing the psalmist wrongly. They had done an injustice to him. And the psalmist is simply saying, don't be hasty now, and don't fret about it. Justice is going to come. Said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And then we close out the scripture read a while ago with my text: rest in the Lord. and wait patiently for Him. Now, it's one thing to wait upon the Lord, as Isaiah said in 40:31, and to wait, says here, wait for the Lord. Now, you wait upon the Lord, that's like a waiter waits on you in a restaurant. We're trying to serve the Lord. We wait upon Him for commands and orders. We're waiting on Him, like a waiter says, I'm your waiter for today. But to wait for the Lord means you take your hands off of it, let Him take care of it from here on. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. I want to talk to you this morning, and this is more of a talk than a sermon, I hate to tell you, but I want you to listen to me and give you something that everybody in this room needs to hear. I'm talking on the subject, wait for Him. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to them that wait for Him. Psalm 37:7, wait patiently for Him. Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord. Micah 7:7, I will wait for the Lord. Now, what does it mean to wait for the Lord? It means three things. First, keep doing right. Second, keep trusting. And third, don't take things in your own hands. He can take care of it. He's perfectly capable of taking care of it. One little statement, then I'll pray, and then I'll bring the message. A man asked a preacher, a friend of mine, are you for Brother Hiles or not? Now, with a church this size and the stand I take, I'm provocative among preachers, controversial around the country. And it goes with, if you can't stand the heat, don't get in the kitchen, Truman said. But it goes with the territory. But they asked this rather well-known preacher, are you for Brother Hiles? And he said, have you noticed what's happened to people who aren't? He said, I don't know whether Hiles is right or wrong, but I'm for him. Because I've noticed what happens to you if you're not for him. I have never in my life, in my ministry, sought revenge on anybody. That's up to him. Up to him. And I never have rejoiced when he does. Never have. But whatever revenge that I'm going to get, or you're going to get, that's for him, not you. And we're to wait. Father, bless me as I speak this morning, and our people as they hear, please. Amen. I want to give you several illustrations, most of which you've heard and know, and they're not just stories, they are true things that have happened. There's a man in this room this morning named Randy Erickson, one of my heroes. Randy Erickson was sitting with his wife, and I hope you listen. Don't make me have to scream or kick a few microphones over this morning. Just listen to me, because I've got something you need to hear. Randy Erickson was sitting about 25 years ago. We were doubling the size of this building at the time. We only had this much. For about 5 months, we were out of the building while it was being enlarged, and we met at the Civic Center much of the time. Some of you folks remember those days. We were sort of the church on in the wilderness, going one place to the other. One Sunday, we met, I think, over at the Whiting High School Gymnasium, and we met at the Civic Center and so forth. But one Sunday, Randy Erickson and his wife were sitting in the Civic Center, and she said to Randy, I can't see Brother Hiles real well. It's a little hazy. I can't see real well. And her vision kept getting more blurred. She had some tests after a few weeks and found out that she had tumor. They couldn't get the tumor through surgery without it leaving her in real bad shape. Those of you who were here at the time recall when Dorothy would move. She could not walk. She lost her equilibrium. She crawled like an animal, a four-legged animal. She absolutely could not walk. When she talked like this. Hello, Brother Hiles. How are you doing? That's the way she had to talk. She couldn't do her chores at all. Now, for 17 years, if I'm correct on the amount of time, for 17 years, Randy Erickson had to provide all the meals. cleaned the house. He had to eat. She couldn't even bathe herself. He had to bathe her. And I do not know. And they had no children. I don't know of a man whom I admire more than I admire Randy Erickson. I literally saw that man live an unbelievable hermit's life for 17 years. Every Christmas morning, I'd get up early and take Brother Randy out for Christmas meal because he had no family with whom to have Christmas. I'd take him out for breakfast every Christmas morning for years. And after 15 years of that, I took him on a trip with me to Orlando, Florida. I'd take him with me several times a year on a trip. And Randy was getting weary, very weary. And I haven't got time to go in the story and wouldn't if I could. But he was getting very weary and discouraged. And I said, Randy, you got to wait. You wait. I said, you just keep on doing what you ought to do. Be faithful to your vows. And obey the Lord's command to love your wife. And I said, wait. Hey, that word wait is not popular enough in the Christian vocabulary. I said, just, Randy, you wait. Now, all the time he was going through that, much of the time, we had a little lady came to our college from Wisconsin. She married one of our college preacher boys. He went out to the Northwest and started a church out there and was doing well. That little church, I imagine, he grew it from nothing to probably 200 or 300 people. All of a sudden, this, a graduate of Howells Anderson College, ran off with a 14-year-old girl in his congregation and left his precious wife with two little tots. She called me. I think, and my memory serves me correctly, I think I financed the trip back here. I helped keep them fed for a while, and I even gave her a job here. Another one of my heroines, Adrian, one of my favorite people. Adrian reared those girls. I wonder how many times I said, Adrian, wait, wait. She got lonely. But you know, far too many young ladies, you're rushing, you're trying to find a man. I get lonely. Rather be lonely than have the wrong fellow to be unlonely with. But I said, wait. Now, all the time, Randy was waiting. And Adrian was waiting. I doubt if they even knew each other. Today they sit back there together on the back row, petting. Happy. The key word, wait. Wait. I love that scripture in Exodus 20, verse 30. It says, little by little will I drive them out. God said to Israel, when you get in the promised land, little by little will I drive out your enemies. Now, we get impatient. We don't want to wait. God said, now you just wait. Little by little, I'll drive out your enemies. We have a college lady. Our lady used to work at our college. Her husband left her. And she came to my office and she said, Brother Hiles, I want a husband. And I want to say this again, and we've got several dozen like that. That's the worst thing you'll ever say in your life. I want a husband. I want a husband. I want a husband. Well, good night. They're out there with a carload. Go get you one, but you're going to rue the day that you didn't wait. There's a couple sitting right there on the second row today. Michelle sitting there on the second row. And Michelle in Howells Anderson College, and I've had fellows who wanted to date her, but I didn't want them to date her because they weren't right for her. But Michelle waited, gave her a job on the staff here, and she waited, and she waited, and she waited. Hey, God is still in heaven, and God is perfectly able to give you what you need when you need it. Oh, we get so impatient. Michelle waited, and waited, and waited. One day she's going to go back home to visit her parents in Lynchburg, Virginia. Her dad's name Jerry Falwell. And she's going to go back home, Lynchburg, Virginia. And she got bumped off her plane. She's going to go through Charlotte, I think it was. And she got bumped off her plane. It's Christmas time. And she couldn't even
get a plane to Lynchburg. They rerouted her, I think, through Pittsburgh, wasn't it, Michelle? Through Pittsburgh. And then on to Richmond, Virginia. That's as close as she'd get to Lynchburg. Well, good night. I'm sure she was frustrated. I've done the same thing. Time and time again through these years. And, oh, she got kicked off the plane because she was smoking. And she just want to see if you're listening, that's all. And she got kicked off the plane. And got on the plane to Pittsburgh. Well, she wanted to go to Charlotte and on to Lynchburg. And now she's going to go to Pittsburgh and on to Richmond. Another fella there had problems with his flight also, and he had to change planes. The last minute he got on the plane, and he gave him a certain seat, and he went to the seat there, and somebody's already sitting in that seat. He said, "I thought this is my seat." They said, "Oh, I'm sorry, my seat's back there. I'll go back there." He said, "Never mind, I'll go back there." So the little girl got bumped off a plane, and the guy that got bumped off a plane were sitting beside each other. And they're sitting beside each other this morning here in this church. And he was frustrated, and he was looking down because he wasn't interested in looking up. He was frustrated, and he saw whoever was next to him had on a skirt. Oh, what an unusual thing that is. And he looked at her, and he said, "Where are you from?" She said, "Hammond, Indiana." He said, "You go to Jack Howes' church, don't you?" And you know why? Because everybody knows that if you wear a skirt, you go to Jack Howes' church. That's what it is. And so... He said, "You know, I used to get Brother Howes's tapes years ago. All those years, he's listened to my..." Had a friend that had a whole bunch of my tapes, and he'd listened to them and listened to them. And he went and got his PhD at Penn State University. Come on up here. He got his PhD at Penn State University, and there he was, got bumped off playing. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that this fine Christian young man and this fine Christian young lady, you say, who played Cupid? God played Cupid. And I want to say something else. Far too many of you folks are playing Cupid. I'm serious about this. Far too many of you people are playing Cupid. You let God take care of that. "Well, I got you picked out for her." Well, you shut up and go soul winning. You're not the picker outer. He's the picker outer. I just thought I'd say that. That's not a part of the sermon, but you need that. Key to Michelle. Wait. Now she's married to a PhD. That means post-hole digger. I don't know if you know that or not. Yeah, the guy's worth millions. Or is that hundreds? I've forgotten. But I'm saying that now they're happily married. Now I want to tell you something. The key word in the Christian life, wait for the Lord. You won't revenge toward an enemy. Wait for the Lord. Are you wanting something in your life? You wait for the Lord. He knows when the time is ripe, and He knows where it is and who it is and what it is. Wait for the Lord. We had a lady work at House Nurse College mentioned a while ago. She wanted to marry. "I want a man. I want a man. I want a man. I want a man. I want a man." Now, if you just keep on doing that, you'll end up marrying somebody like Roy Moffat as sure as I'm standing here. JoJo used to say, "I want a man. I want a man." She didn't get a man. She got a Roy. But this is, look out. And this gal got a man. And I told her, I said, "Don't rush it. Good night." I said, okay, she's about 35, 40 years old. And I said, okay, suppose it's 5 more years. You still got a long time to live after those 5 more years. It may be God has something for you tomorrow. It may be He has something for you 10 years from now. But wait for the Lord. Don't rush it. So she got a man. Within 2 months, she's back in my office, and she got a... I won't tell you what kind of man she got, but I wouldn't call him a man. And wrecked her life. You know why? Because she didn't take my advice. One word. Wait. Wait. When I was pastor at Garland, Texas, the church grew rather large for our churches in those days. We didn't have a bus ministry. It was all drive-in crowd. 1,600 people. It had as high as 3,163. I left the church. I helped them call the next pastor. He was an evangelist, and he was a member of the church. And we voted him in before I left, even, because I wanted the church to have a pastor. I'd never do that again. I made a mistake, and I'd never do it again. As soon as I left the church, now listen carefully, he came in that church within a year, within less than a year, he started a grade school. He started a high school. He started a college. And he also started a fight. Because those people weren't ready for it. I called him on the phone. His name was Tom. And I said, Tom, wait, man, wait. I said, wait till it's ripe. You can't come in there with a new church. They don't even know who you are yet. I said, Tom, you wait. You wait. Wait. Oh, I'd like to say it to 1,000 people this morning. There is a God in heaven, and you wait till it's His time. By the way, within 3 years, the college was dead. High school, grade school, gone. And church split two or three different directions. He's out of the ministry. Last I heard, he was teaching in college somewhere at Washington, D.C. Wait a minute. I came to Hammond. I waited 1 year. I waited 2 years. I waited 5 years. I waited 10 years. After 11 years, I started a high school. And after 12 years, we started a grade school. And after 13 years I was here, we started a college. Now go look what we have. The difference in Tom, and I won't call his last name, I'll say Jones. The difference in Tom Jones, who was my successor in Garland, Texas, and the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, one word, wait. Wait. My sister. Husband left her. She was 45 years old. And I said to her, Earlene, you wait. You wait. Don't rush in anything. You wait. And she did. And look how respected she is now. I'm saying, take it out. And I'm not saying don't work. I'm not saying don't go soul winning. I'm not saying don't do a big job for God. I'm talking about your own personal life. You let God take care of the circumstances. So many illustrations I like to use. An old one. I was a teenage boy, 17, 18 years of age. Down in Texas in the Southland, a phenomenon took place that was ridiculous. They're called youth revivals. They take some kid preacher, 17, 18 years of age, and sometimes even younger, and he'd preach a revival in the church. The adults would all come. We have a youth revival here with just the teenagers. This wasn't like that. All the church would come. And some teenage boy would do the preaching. Teenagers take care of the special, lead the singing, and the teenage ushers and so forth. But it was a church-wide revival. Well, somebody got the idea in Dallas to have a city-wide revival like that. They set up 10,000 chairs at Cole Park. And do not walk out while I'm preaching. They set up 10,000 chairs at Cole Park. They chose 5 teenage boys each to preach one night, get me now, before 10,000 people. Somebody came to me and said, Jack, would you like to preach one of those nights? I said, no. You said, what are you talking about? Had a chance to preach to 10,000 people, and you said, no. I said, exactly that. And they said, why? And I said, I, as a teenage boy, am not ready to preach to 10,000 people. Oh, by the way, one of those boys is named Buckner Fannin. He's a liberal now. One of those boys named Charles Wilburn. He's a liberal professor at Duke University, last I heard. One of those boys named Jackie Robinson. He's out of the ministry. 4 of the 5, not even in the ministry. And the others are liberal. Oh, by the way, I have my 10,000. Every Sunday we'll have more than 10,000 people here on this corner. I'm trying to tell you, what was the secret? Waiting. A kid. That's one thing, one reason why a 13-year-old kid shouldn't be going all over the world taking a bunch of trips around the world. Wait. Why don't you go to Indiana Harbor and see what it looks like first? Either that or that's what I tell you. Now you listen to me, folks. God has a way. You got an enemy. I'll get him back. If you are right and he is wrong, there's a God in heaven who can do a lot better than you. So you're not in charge of tornadoes. You're not in charge of the little lever that causes earthquakes and hurricanes. You're not in charge of heart attacks. You're not in charge of all of that. But my God is. And my God, if you ought to be vindicated, He can do a better job than you can. And He'll do it at the right time. in the right way. And when he does, don't you rejoice that anybody has been hurt or punished because of you. I traveled the country. Did and still do, but I was pastor of Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas. Now, wait a minute now. First Sunday I was there, and this is old story, but I'll get to the sermon about 12:30. First Sunday was there, we had 44 people. On my first anniversary, we had 617. No buses. Second anniversary, 1180. Third anniversary, 2212. Fourth anniversary, 3163. And word got around the country that we were called in publications the world's fastest growing church. And word got around the country about this young pastor in Texas in his 20s. Church is growing like wildfire and fastest growing church in the world. I began to get invitations from all over America and even around the world. And I'd go all over the country preaching on church growth. How to get your church growing. How to get it growing. And then I came to Hammond. Church is running about 700. After a year, we were running about 700. It lost 400 and got 400 in, but lost 400. After 2 years, it was running about 700. After 3 years, it's running about 700. I had a book out. I'd written a book on how to boost your church attendance. I changed it to how to bust your church attendance. Now, wait a minute. I found that scripture. I found the scripture in Exodus 23:30. Little by little will I drive them out. I did some figuring one day. If I can just get 10 more today than I had last Sunday, and 10 more the next Sunday, and 10 more the next Sunday, in a matter of 25, 30 years, I can run 20,000 people. Little by little. In God's time. And now then, the largest church in America. You know why? You wait. You work. What does it mean to wait? What I said a while ago. It means to keep doing what's right, keep trusting, and don't take things in your hands. Young lady, you're 30 years old, you're not married. God knows exactly. Give him your phone number. He may already know it. Tell him where you live. Give him your house address. Tell him where you live. And quit flirting. And quit rushing it. And lose weight. And trust God. Can't do both. Quit trusting God and lose the weight. Now, 3 points that I've been illustrating. One is, accept the past. Accept the past. You can't do a thing about it. You got some bridges you'd like to burn. You got some days you'd like to relive. You got some nights you'd like to recall. Accept it. It's gone. And you can't do it, undo it. But bless God, you can do something about the present. Number two, accept the present. Little story I love. Guy was running a service station years ago, back before we had these big gas stations. Ran a service station. And all of a sudden, Sears Roebuck started selling oil. And instead of coming to his place to get your oil changed, they'd drive up to get gasoline, and he'd say, can I change your oil? They said, no, you can get oil cheaper at Sears Roebuck. We go to Sears Roebuck to buy our oil. And the fellow didn't know what to do. He lost all his customers for oil, changing oil. And one day it dawned on him. Fellow came by, said, got to change your oil. He said, you know I don't buy my oil here. Buy it at Sears Roebuck and get it cheaper. He said, yeah, but they don't change it. You go buy it at Sears Roebuck and bring it to me and I'll change it free. And the fellow said, boy, what a deal. He said, tell your friends. He had hundreds of customers coming to buy gasoline because he changed the oil free and it was all the oil that bought at Sears Roebuck. Now the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, he accepted the reality of the fact he couldn't undercut Sears and Roebuck. I'm trying to tell you, accept the present. Hey, want to be what you are. Want to have what you have. Want to do what you're doing. Mrs. Howell said to me not long ago something about a little wrinkle she's got in her face. And I said, you know what I think? I love wrinkles. I said, nothing more disgusting to me than these smooth-faced girls. You know why I love wrinkles? Because she's got one in her face. You never noticed it, and I shouldn't have told you. Now you're going to stare at her. Miss Howell said to me the other day, she said, well, I like chicken necks. That's that thing right there. You can't shave because the skin jumps over on the other side of your face. If you got a husband 70 years old, like chicken necks. If you got a wife that's getting a wrinkle, like wrinkles. Like what you got, want what you have, want to be what you are, want to do what you're doing. So you're not married, want to be single. I mean that. Tell God your address and phone number, get busy for God, then wait. If he never calls, say, I'd rather be single. I like what that Dr. Bill Rice said. This gal walked up and he said, this fellow walked up and he said, this old gal over here, she's an old maid. And Dr. Bill Rice, anybody get a husband that settled for what your wife settled for? Now you listen to me. Want what you have, want to be who you are, want to do what you're doing, so you don't have any children, okay, then don't want them. Trade them if you have any, trade them for a car. I won't go through the whole story because I use it as a sermon around the country, but I won't go through it. But you remember the story I told about the old crab I sat beside on an airplane one day? Guy wouldn't talk to me. 4 cotton picking hours, I sat beside that crab and he wouldn't even look at me and say a word to me. After a while, I buzzed the stewardess and she came back and she said, Mr. Howells, what can I do for you? And I said, I'd like to change seats. And to make a long story short, she tried to find me a seat. She couldn't. And she came back and she said, why? And I said, because there's a crab sitting right here. He never would look up. Stewardess looked at me and she said, Mr. Howells, may I give you a little advice? She said, there's not one empty seat on this airplane. I said, put me on the wing. I don't want to sit beside this crab. And she said, Mr. Howells, she said, you've got to sit here. And you've got to sit here 4 hours. The plane's already up in the air. You can't get off. If you did, you would knock it. You can't get off. She said, now you got one choice of two. You sit here and enjoy seat 4A and accept it and enjoy the trip. Or let the guy next to you ruin your trip and have a miserable trip. But you got to sit here. Ladies and gentlemen, when you got to sit there, make peace with it, accept it, and want what you have. I said, accept the past. Accept the present and quickly accept the inevitabilities of the future. I'm 70. I can't help it. I could, I would. But I can't. So I'm accepting being 70. I got a chicken neck. To me, I love chicken necks. It's inevitable. I can't do a thing about it. Another one of my heroes is Pam Hibbard. I've been Pam's pastor since she was a little girl. Pam had the same dreams that you young ladies have, that someday she'd grow up and be a wife and a mother. She got up a certain age and she got worried. She came to me and she said, Brother Hiles, I'm worried. I'd like to be a wife and a mother. I talked to her about it. I even tried to play Cupid, which I shouldn't have done. It was obvious she wasn't going to get married. Now Pam's approaching her middle life. And just a few months ago, a year or so ago, she had a hysterectomy. And she had to bury in that hospital her hopes of ever having a child. But how graciously she's done it. One of the happiest people in this church is Pam Hibbert. Given her life to work with those bus kids at City Baptist High School. One of the happiest people. She's not spending her life saying, well, I want a man, I want a man, I want a man. Why can't I have children? It's not fair. No, sir. She says, I want to be who I am. I want to be where I am. I want to have what I have. And I'm willing to wait for God to give me what He wants me to have. One of the great secrets of life is the word wait. God is still on His throne. You just serve Him with all your might. Love Him with all your heart. Trust Him with all your soul. And wait patiently on the Lord. Would you bow your heads, please? No one is leaving. And only backsliders will leave during the invitation.